Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Good to have y'all visiting, worshiping with us online this morning. How many of you feel new this morning? Anybody feel new this morning? Well, that's a pretty small segment of us. Let me read a quote from Charles Spurgeon. He's the preacher of all preachers. This was part of my daily devotional this morning. He says, "A new life must be infused into the sinner, one that works in his heart, renews his soul, and affects the entire man or woman. It's not a mere changing of one's name, but a renewal of one's nature. The man is no longer his old self, but a new man in Christ Jesus. Remember, washing and dressing a corpse is far different from making it alive. Man can do the one, but only God can do the other." You know, I was born again in 1981, and some days I don't feel like I'm new. I mean, this morning my elbow hurts. I've got some sinus pressure here. I just don't feel new, but outwardly I might be wasting away, but inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature." Not he was or he became one, but he is a new creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's good news this morning, church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for making us new. And Lord, I don't know, maybe somebody need to hear that this morning. That even though we may be struggling physically, emotionally, mentally, there's opportunities to be renewed this morning. I thank you for that renewal that takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And would you continue to renew our hearts as we worship you, as we sit under teaching this morning, as we pray this morning, would you renew us? Oh, Father, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the salvation that comes through your Son. And it's him we seek to glorify and honor this morning. And we praise you for who you are in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you're able to, let's stand and worship the Lord.
Good morning. I invite you to lift your voice up to sing and celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for you this morning. So in the first service, I said, good morning, and I just started playing my guitar, and I got completely lost, and I froze and didn't say anything else. So that's all the greeting the first service got. And then I told him after the first song was over, man, I think I need to lean on the everlasting arms a little more. But that's also good for our worship, that as we come into this place, invite the Holy Spirit to move. Invite the Holy Spirit to lead you in worship. See, worship is something we're created to do. It's something God wants us to engage in. And He's the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that's going to lead you there. So this morning, as we continue in worship, just lean on those everlasting arms and invite Him to lead you in worship as we go. Christ, a round of applause this morning. I invite you to be seated. And at this time, children, you're going to be dismissed this morning. So follow Miss Carter Bean over there.
You love that herd of kids coming through. Welcome. Good morning. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. And I'm seeing some faces that haven't been here in a while, been live streaming with us. And that's awesome. I won't mention any names. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but it's great. And if you're still worshiping with us at home, no shame. We're glad that you are with us. If you would, anyone would like to register their attendance with us, you can do that through our app, and would love for you to do that and let us know that you were here. So this Friday, we've got a team headed to Panama, and I want to invite that team forward. I think there's 10. Jason, it's good to have you with the group this morning. I won't tell everybody why you were a little late in the first service, but yeah. But you can ask Jason later why he was a little late coming in. Huh? Yeah. Are we missing some this morning?
Some people had to go back to school and work.
Where's their priorities, man? Had to go back to school? All right. I'm glad that you're here. So, how many are we missing that aren't here right now?
Missing three.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray over them in just a moment. They're going to be headed to Panama, like I said, Friday, and be there for a week or so, right?
We fly out early Saturday and then back in the following Saturday.
Okay. And here's what we want to do. We would like to match up each one of these folks with a prayer partner that's going to pray for them this week. So find one of these, and then we've got three others, Richard Arthur and who else?
Peyton Boone. Brandon.
Okay. There's the three that are not up here, so we need them covered as well. If you will pray for one of these while they are gone, come up. Stand with them. You get a cool, like, bandana biker thing. Come on. And it's okay. We don't mind if more than one prays for them, too. So everybody has a bandana who you're praying for. It matches their color. So when they are on the trip and they look at their bandana, it will remind them that someone is praying for them. When you put your bandana somewhere where you will see it during the week, it will remind you to pray for them. And guess what? You don't have to have a bandana to pray for this team. You can still pray for them. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're sending this team as your representatives because, Jesus, you said, go and make disciples. And Lord, it's not a complicated thing. All that means is go and love people. Love people on behalf of Christ. And that's what this team plans to do. They plan to go and take the love of Jesus with them. Father, I pray safety for them as they travel. I pray blessings and fruit on their efforts, that they would indeed impact people for your kingdom. Lord, I pray for favor in every step of their way, favor with as they go through customs and as they meet people, that they would have an open heart to this team. Lord, you tell us that we are a people reconciled to you, and that we are ambassadors of that reconciliation. That so we are sending them out to bless and to love in the name of Jesus. So keep them safe, keep them blessed, and give them favor. We pray now the prayer that unites our hearts that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you that we will take our offering as we continue to worship. We have offering plates on the rails up here. You can also give online as well.
Last week, my heart was blessed by men of Nehemiah, and I know many of you here were as well. And I just saw the pure worship and love and thanksgiving and deep gratitude that these men have for being those who once were lost and now are found. And they connected deeply to what Jesus Christ had done for them, the transformed life. And you could see it in their worship. And that was a beautiful thing. And my prayer has been that we can remember our first love, as Scripture tells us, that we can reconnect, that each and every one of us were lost and we're now found. And so this morning, I just encourage you to remember what Christ has done for you, the beautiful many things he has done for your life, the love, the joy, the peace that he gives to you, and that your worship would be an expression of gratitude, an expression of praise for being a transformed creation. And it's okay to ask him to help you in that. It's okay to work on that even as we enter into worship, that maybe you're not there. That's okay. You know, try to get yourself to that place of connecting and just pouring out your heart to God in thanksgiving for all the many things he's done to you. This morning, I invite you to continue worshiping with us. And it's just my prayer that us as a body of Christ here in this place, as a community of believers, that we would just pour out genuine worship from the depths of who we are, because we serve such a great, forgiving, and loving God. song, kind of describing something that's so complex to understand, that God has chosen us and that we take a step to Him and He runs to us. The battle's God, but He wants us to choose Him. And it's just this thing I can't describe. I've tried a long time, Jeff, to really try to figure that out, and I just can't do it. But this morning, just take a step towards God, and I promise you, He's there waiting for you with open arms, and He'll run to you. Invite Him in. Ask Him to lead you deeper. This next song is one of my favorites. It's called No Longer Slaves to Fear. I am a child of God. And Scripture tells us that the perfect love of God casts out most of the fear this world has. Is this thing on? The perfect love of God casts out all fear. And a big part of that is to understand that God, who created everything, loves us just like a loving parent would love us. And that we are sons and daughters of God, seeing this morning as redeemed children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You unravel me with a melody. Will you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies? Till all my fears are gone. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, You have chosen me. Love has called my born again to Your family. Your love flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God. I'm no He's done for. You split the sea so I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God. And I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Good morning again. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and the love of His people. We like new people, yes? We like new people. We like to invite people to be part of our church family. So if you are our guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It says, guests. Has a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'll be out at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. So, turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Before I go, and then kind of keep your thumb on John chapter 20. We're going to read two books today. So we are continuing the sermon series, Hope When Life Hurts. Hope When Life Hurts. Did you know that the hope of a Christian is different than the hope of the world? Did you know that? The hope of the world, you know, is like, I hope that people like me. I hope that I win the lottery. I hope all these things. But the hope of a Christian, the hope that we have, is founded on Christ Himself and His faithfulness to us. So hope when life hurts. Today's message is overcoming fear. Now, I know that none of us, in things that are going on in our world, none of us have struggled with fear and anxiety, right? It's just all business as usual. Everything, it's all good, right? Maybe not. Maybe not. We have some things to talk about. So, Genesis chapter 3, and then I'm going to flip over to John chapter 20. I want you to see the contrast of as we think about this whole idea of fear. I want you to think about the contrast between these two passages. Genesis 3, beginning in verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's that uh-oh moment right there. How did they respond? And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That was probably the first time that anybody had ever played hide and seek, right there. Very first time. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and here it is. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." All right, flip over to John chapter 20. Now this is, this passage is after Jesus has gone to the cross, after he's been resurrected, and the disciples, now these are the same guys that, Judas had hung himself, so he was out of the picture, but the rest of them, Peter had denied knowing him, and the others had scattered, deserted him, and they're huddled together, fearful. Not the last time they saw Jesus, his lifeless body was coming off a cross. Verse 19, John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you. I say it many times, Lord, but no one wants to hear me, what I have to say. Well, we want to hear you. We want to hear what you have to say. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak in power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see the contrast when, if you go back, all the way back to the garden, and when sin and brokenness entered through the rebellion of mankind, suddenly fear entered the picture. Do you think that Adam and Eve had hid from God before that? No, when they were rebellious to God, and when they knew that they had done wrong, and their eyes had been opened, and they recognized their fallen state, they were fearful. And I've said this every week we've done this series, but I want to say it again today, that fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. Fear is fruit of the enemy, the devil. He sows fear into us and wants us to be fearful. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So do you see that third one, peace? So you have this contrast. The devil deals in fear. Jesus deals in peace. Do you see those two don't coexist? You either are fearful or you're at peace. Now, the circumstances of the culture, what we, you know, I said to the first service, I really don't have to list it because it's all on our mind and it's all in the news and so forth, but golly, the things going on in our world, just the brokenness of our world, the brokenness of our culture, COVID and Ukraine, and our denomination has got its stuff, and I'll be talking more about that in the weeks to come. But there's just chaos everywhere. And the devil wants us to be fearful. Jesus wants us to have peace. God deals in peace. So how do we do that? I mean, in the midst of this, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we overcome fear in the midst of chaos and brokenness in our world? If you have not struggled with fear and anxiety, I can go ahead and dismiss you now if you want to go ahead and if anybody needs to leave. All right, first thing, we can overcome fear if we put our trust in God. Sounds simple, but that's a hard journey to make because we tend to trust ourselves, our feelings. We tend to trust, Lord help us if we trust politicians, but I mean, we tend to trust all sorts of things, don't we? But the only thing that won't fail us is God himself. Everything else is sinking sand. I am going to write a song. I've told you, I'm going to write a song. I think it'll be a hit. David, in the Psalm 42, David is attributed with writing this, and the theologians believe that he was in hiding, that he was had escaped, and he was not with the Israel, and he was either in hiding from Saul, who he had only shown honor to, Saul the king before David, and then Saul was trying to kill him because of his jealousy, or Absalom, his son, who was trying to kill him. So he was in hiding, and here's a little piece of what he says in Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? So David's even struggling with this. And here's he goes on to say, put your hope in God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Do you think maybe that we need to hear that? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Did you know that coronavirus, God wasn't surprised by that? Did you know he wasn't surprised by the political and racial strife and all the stuff that we're going through? He wasn't surprised by what's going on in Ukraine. He wasn't surprised by any of it. God, now, he may allow the chaos to go, but God is in control, and God gets the last word. And we can trust him. Put your trust in God. Proverbs saying in the early service that this has come up a lot. Brent preached on it a few weeks ago. Marv preached on it a few weeks ago, and I've preached on it. But Proverbs 3:5, I think we need to live this verse right now. Trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Lean not on our own understanding. Lean not on our feelings, because feelings do this. Feelings do that. God is like this. God is the foundation that we stand on. He's solid. Says, trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Hebrews 13, God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Man, it's almost like God inspired this holy word. I mean, that's almost what it seems like. For such a time as this. Get in the Word, church. His promises are all over the place for us. We don't have to let the cable news dictate where we're at. And this is in the garden, sin and brokenness came into the picture, and immediately the enemy is heaping shame and guilt and fear on us. And I'm going to be talking more about shame and guilt next week. But he heaps shame and guilt on us. But here's the words of Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. The world, and I was saying in the first service, The world, if everything lines up, which is, you know, like 5 minutes out of our entire life, if everything lines up perfectly, if everybody likes us, we got plenty of money, our health is good, all our relationships are good, and all these things, we got a good job, and we're really content, and our family's all happy, and when all those things are in alignment, that's the peace that the world gives. And it's usually that long. Jesus is saying, that's not the kind of peace that I'm offering. I'm offering peace that transcends circumstances, transcends what's going on, your feelings. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and here it is, and do not be afraid. It's almost like a theme is starting to develop here. Psalms 34, this is also attributed to King David, and he says this, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from most of my fears. Oh, it doesn't say most. What translation are y'all looking at? No, he delivers me from all my fears. Man, I don't know about you, church. Maybe this sermon's just for me. Because sometimes I've said it before, but if it's possible for a human head to explode, mine's come close with all the stuff that is going on in our culture, in our world. I sought the Lord, David says, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Secondly, we can overcome fear if we praise God and press into him. Praise God and press into him. Now, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about praising in just a second, but press into him. Let me kind of unpack that just a second. You know, that may be kind of vague to you, but pressing into him means, you know, to lean into him. If you want to be good at anything, if you want to succeed at anything, you have to do it and practice. You have to be engaged. I was saying in the early service, if you want to be a good golfer, but you never, I've said this, but Steve can attest to this. I used to be a pretty good golfer in my younger days, but, you know, 6 shoulder surgeries and, you know, about 40 years and doesn't do a good, you know, it's not good for a golf game. And especially when I take my clubs out, the last time I went, which was about 2 years ago, I went with y'all. I'm not kidding you. I pulled my golf clubs out and I got a rag and I'm knocking the cobwebs off my golf clubs. And guess what? I stink. You want to be good at something, you press into it. You want to walk with Jesus, press into Jesus. You want to overcome fear, press into him because he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He loves you. He has given us promises to navigate this world that we are in. So praise. If we want to overcome fear, we praise him. Most of you have heard this story, but some of you haven't, so I'll say it quickly. But praise is spiritual warfare. We saw it last week with the men of Nehemiah. I mean, if you didn't realize that there was some spiritual stuff going on, then you just don't have spiritual eyes. Because these guys had, in the spiritual realm, had overcome things through Christ, and they were praising him for it. A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, went with 2 other pastors and backpacking. That was back when I used to backpack, and I was not on this trip, but he said they went up there, and he was a big fly fisherman. He loved to fly fish, and they go up there, and he's all excited, man, going to be doing me some fly fishing, and he got up there, and it was raining, and it just rained and rained and rained for several days, and it was just spoiling, and they each had their own separate little tent, and they're all kind of in this little area up in the mountains, and he said, man, I'm in my tent watching it rain, realizing I can't go fly fishing. And he said, and this is a pastor friend of mine, he said, I'm mad. I'm giving God the business. God, I need some relaxing time. I need to be up here replenishing my spirit. I can't even get out of the tent. He was upset. And one of the other pastors right in this circle, nobody wants to hear that. He didn't say it, I don't think, but he was thinking it. Just stop it already. I'm miserable, and I want to be miserable. And so then the second pastor friend of his began to join in, praising the Lord. And he, man, he's really boiling mad now. And after a little while, he joined in. And so it's pouring down rain, and the three of them are singing praises of the Lord out of their tent. And guess what? First thing that broke was the spirit of self-centeredness. It just broke. And they had joy in the camp. And guess what the second thing that happened? The rain stopped. And they crawled out of their tent, and they fished the rest of the week. Praise is spiritual warfare. I want to play this a real short little video. Man, my little man, Ollie Aiken. This was 2 weeks ago. First song of our worship service. Fired up, Lee. That little man knows how to praise. Now, I wasn't planning on saying this the first service or this service, but I'm going to say it anyway. Last week, please don't be offended by this, but last week in the early service, the guy that was part of the Men of Nehemiah that was directing the music, you know, he's down there and he's walking up here and he's saying things to the men that are up here, and I'm really pretty close. And I heard him say to the men, he looked at them and he said, "Don't let them keep you from praising." I heard him say it. It was not a rude thing he was saying about us. He was reminding them, praise is you. You're the one in control of your praise, not the guy beside you or the lady beside you. He wasn't being, I talked to him afterwards and I said, "I heard what you said, and I'm not offended by that at all. I understand what you were saying." And he went on to say, "Yeah, that's what I was saying." He said, "It really doesn't have anything to do with y'all." But in reality, did it? I believe, and I don't think it's a Wiley Methodist thing, I think it's pretty much a Christian thing, that we, as we worship, we're kind of taking note. If I clap here, are people going to think I'm weird? Or, you know, if I raise a hand, people are going to think I'm weird. Or if I sing out, people are going to think I'm weird. I'm like a Jesus freak. I hope people think I'm a Jesus freak. I mean, I love that title. Somebody wants to call me that, that's cool with me all day. Praise is spiritual warfare, and we let our fellow man, I think, we let our fellow man hinder us from truly praising him. And it looks different for all of us. And I'm not saying you need to raise your hands to really praise God, but we need to praise him without regard to what someone else is thinking. We can overcome fear if we praise God and we press into him. And finally, we can overcome fear if we remember God's past faithfulness. Again, David, Psalm 42, "My soul is downcast within me." He's defined his position, where he's at. "Therefore," remember what therefore is for, "I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon." He's saying, I'm downcast. I've been cast out from the nation of Israel. I'm hiding. My soul hurts. But I will remember you. I will remember what you've done. Isaiah 43, Isaiah says it this way, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you." And that's pointing back, as Billy was saying in the opening comments, pointing back to what he's done for us, how he has made us new creation. "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." What a wonderful thing. Cody, thank you for the worship that we've done. Where's Cody? Cody's right. Thank you for the worship we've done. Just a couple of these songs, it's just so tied with what we're talking about. I am no longer a slave to fear. See, Satan wants us to be a slave to fear. He wants to sow fear in our lives. I am no longer a slave to fear. Why? Because I'm a child of God. He's redeemed me. He loves me. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Isn't that good? Praise Him. Worship Him. Remember what He's done for you. Fear not, Isaiah says, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Another passage that to live by is 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So if we kind of think about that for just a second, perfect love, it seems as though perfect love is the antidote to fear. Well, so if the secret is perfect love, then we need to determine who or what is perfect love. And I would confess to you, I would present to you that Jesus is perfect love. Jesus is perfect love. So, and perfect love drives out fear. If we are going to have an opportunity here to partake in Holy Communion, if you did not get some communion elements as you walked in and you are going to want to partake in communion, if you'll raise your hand, we'll bring it to you. Some over there. Dean. Anybody over here need, over there, Billy? Anybody in the center? Everybody got some? We are going to receive this morning through the liturgy. It'll be on the screen, but you can also see it on page 12 of your hymnal. The bolder print will be for you to repeat with me. Just hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table, all who love Him. So church, I guess I would ask you, do you love Him? Did you know He loves you? You're invited. Who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin, church? And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and before one another. If you'll recite with me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to say your own private, personal prayers of confession before our holy and loving God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to start with the bread side, and if you want to partake, this is the body of Christ broken for you. If you'll open the juice side, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Pray with me. Father, we thank you. We are humbled and grateful that you loved us enough to go to the cross, to allow your body to be broken and your blood to be shed so that we might be made whole, so that we might be redeemed to the Father. Thank you for the preciousness of this meal. As we just said together, may we be your holy church. May we proclaim your goodness. Teach us how. Give us favor. Give us wisdom and discernment as we love on your behalf. Thank you for this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we have this closing song.
My clarity.
Christ has died and Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Sweet Jesus Christ, my sanity. Sweet Jesus Christ, my clarity. The breath.
That wants to sow fear, wants us to be fearful. But we have a Savior that says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's good news, church. We have good news to share with a quite frankly, probably a fearful world and a broken world. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.